Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
This is Mr. Michael Dean, starting without Nima Vedati, because he walked away. I'm already casting. I guess Nima came back. What's up, Nima? We started without you. The whole class was waiting.
Were they?
Yeah. So what'd you do?
I went and got some caffeine.
Yeah? You got fish tacos today. We were talking about fish tacos.
Oh, I didn't get fish tacos. No, I got regular tacos.
What kind of tacos?
I got some ground beef crispy tacos and some steak fajita soft tacos.
Mm. I was talking about this place that I keep seeing in Southland, like all the detectives eat at this place in L.A. that actually I don't think I ever saw a cop at because it was kind of too hood. They wouldn't eat there, especially detectives. Yeah. But in this show, it's called Les Seven, the original Seven Mares, which is the Seven Seas. And I think I'm going to post a link to it. On the cast,
I think it's pronounced Mares.
Mares, there you go. Seven Mares. Yeah, if you're ever in Mayors. LA, I mean, you could almost picture my bicycle chained up to this little post in front here. Like, I ate here probably four times a week for 4 years. It was really good, really cheap, really fast, and kind of hood. It's at about 3181 West Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, which is kind of hood, kind of between hood and Hollywood, kind of the best of both worlds, I guess.
Between hood and Hollywood, I like that. That should be a rap song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, also, I'm looking at the Google directions here for Fish Taco Sunset Boulevard, or the list of different taco places.
Yeah.
The one below El Siete Mares is Pinches Tacos. Doesn't that mean effing tacos in Spanish?
Pinches Tacos. Maybe. Maybe it's the guy's name. Pinches. I don't know.
That's his name.
I don't know, man. Okay. I lived in L.A. for like 10 years and couldn't speak a lick of Spanish. Really? I guess that's my fault.
Not even to order tacos?
Well, I could mispronounce what's on the menu and they would understand it, because all day long white people come and misunderstand what's on the menu. But a lot of places, it's by numbers. You know, and I can count to four or five in Spanish, so I just order the Ocho Loco or whatever.
Nice. Well, see, you should learn Spanish if you're going to go into a taco shop, man. That's the official language of the taco shop.
The Ocho Loco is a taco made from a squirrel water skiing. Do you get that reference?
No.
It's on the movie Dodgeball. The dodgeball tournament at the end is covered by ESPN Ocho. ESPN 8, the Ocho. And their motto is, if it's almost a sport, we've got it. And at the beginning, they show a squirrel on water skis.
Yeah, yeah. And Michael from Arrested Development is one of the announcers.
Oh, he is, isn't he? Isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's hilarious.
I had a dream about him last night. I was hanging out with the, I don't know if it's the character or the actor, but yeah.
Mm, what happened?
I don't know. I think it was sexual. I don't want to go into it.
You had pop in the basement?
I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. Not my type. Male. But man. You were remarking about how LA, like even kind of in the hood, looks really nice. Kind of does.
Yeah, man. It's palm trees everywhere. It's green and the buildings don't get decrepit. See, in the Houston hood, the buildings get decrepit real fast because it's real humid. And maybe even because all the hood parts are kind of closer, or there are a lot of hood parts close to the oil refineries and the chemical plants. So I don't know if that has any effect at it at all. But They call it the Dirty South for a reason, man. The hood parts are like grimy and have like mud and buildings
five,
that
5-inch cockroaches flying at you.
Ah, yeah. Well, the cockroaches don't fly, luckily. If they did, that'd be scary.
Palmetto bugs. Yeah. They fly. They look like cockroaches.
Palmetto bugs. Maybe we call that something different. We have the cicadas, which are like giant and make like a...
It sounds horrible, man. Whenever they show a movie that's in the South, they like cue up the cicada sound effect, man.
Yeah.
And you can just feel... It just makes you feel hot looking at it when you hear it.
It does. It does. I like it, though. It reminds me of home, I guess, because I sort of grew up there. But yeah, I love getting off the plane in Houston if I've been somewhere in the West or in the Northwest, and as soon as you step off out of the plane, you feel
it
like
hits
the humidity.
Like, it hits you like in the face.
It sort of like weighs on your shoulders. Like the air feels heavier, and then you hear that.
Man, why don't you know what a palmetto bug? Maybe they're only in New Orleans or in Louisiana. Maybe they don't make it all the way to you. They're horrible. They're like, here, let me send you the government featured creature site, and you can see a picture of one. They look like cockroaches. They're about 3 to 4 inches long. They fly. They hiss when they fly, and they fly at you. They like to fly at people. They're really creepy, man.
Yeah.
Also known as the Florida woods cockroach.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen one of these. They are creepy looking. Ugh.
Give you nightmares.
Is this one giving birth, or is that just the way its butt looks?
It's just the way its butt looks, I think.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Man. Okay, yeah. Luckily, I was not in that dirty of the South.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, like, the hood in, you know, the hood in L.A. looks kind of nice. Like, South Central, literally, you know, if you just go there on Google Maps instead of in person, you're like, oh, everyone has nice trimmed gardens, and there's no broken windows, and there's palm trees, and it's sunny, and it's nice. But they'll friggin' murder you walking down the street there for being white.
Why are they so upset, man? You live in a nice, sunny place. Why can't you just relax?
I know. Whereas, like, the hood in Detroit looks like downtown Beirut, man. Like, people use the windows for target practice. I guess because the government tells them that broken windows cause jobs or something.
There you go. There you go. It probably looked like Beirut 10 years ago. Now it probably looks like Fallujah or something.
Yeah. I like what Lou said about... He said, if broken windows cause prosperity, Detroit should be paved in gold.
Yeah, that was good times. Good meme out of that, too.
Yeah. Man, well, the Fiends have been exploding in memes like a pregnant cockroach lately without us even doing anything. That's success to me. Like, when you inspire artistic people to come together and just generate stuff. I mean, that guy, Crazy Rich, is that his name?
Crazy Rich, yeah.
Crazy Rich is like an anti-tyranny machine. You know how we talked about like the 4,000 felonies a day, the tyranny, the tyranny bots that are just creating laws?
Rich, he's a freedom fix bot.
He is, man. I mean, I almost think he's a program, but he's not. He's a guy. We've chatted with him, and he's using Corel Paint, which is like the, you know, pre-Photoshop, like 1983, you know, image program, and he's doing
it's
cooler
like a step
stuff
above Mario Paint on the Super Nintendo or something.
yeah,
it's great because he'll just be
Corel,
in the chat room.
Corel Paint
listening.
Shop Pro.
And then he'll just like throw up stuff of something we just said. Like,
I know.
Five seconds later. It's like,
I know.
Whoa.
And it's like, it's a nice meme. Let's see. Corel Photo Paint is a raster graphics editing program developed by Corel since 1992. All right. Yeah. It's
Maybe there's an update. Maybe he's got like Corel Paint 2010 or something.
I hope he's using the oldest version. That's even cooler.
It would be cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you like old software that still does its job well and doesn't have a whole lot of bells and whistles and doesn't take up a lot of processing power because it was developed for computers with like 5 megs of RAM.
I know.
Or something.
I mean, I like running, you know, Word 2000 on my computer that has 16 gigs of RAM. It's like stunning. Although, you know, a lot of what we do is still solving computer problems. Like, people think, oh, you're an artist. You make art. You talk for a living. It's cool. But no. Well, first of all, we don't make a living at it yet. We did make a little money last year, but we will be making a living at it. And second of all, you know, I remember this interview with Ian MacKay from Fugazi where they said, what's it like to make a living playing music? And he said, I don't make a living playing music. I've been up since 6 a.m. It's 8 p.m. I've been on the phone all day. I've been dealing with computer problems. I've been faxing people. You know, I've been doing interviews. I haven't played a note of music today. And this is what most of my days consist of. So I got some computer news you can use. I've had this problem where anytime I go on a Flash thing, it's a Windows 7 Firefox issue. Anytime you go on a Flash page, all of a sudden your scroll wheel doesn't work on your mouse unless you reboot Firefox. What it was I had two versions of Flash. So if you go into Tools Add-ons in Firefox, you'll probably, if you have that problem, you'll probably see two Shockwave Flash versions. You just disable one of them, restart the program, restart Firefox, and then see if it fixes it. If it doesn't, disable that one and enable the other one. So it's some kind of conflict. It's really weird.
Okay. Well, good news you can use if you have that very specific problem.
And, 1% of 1% of our listeners might. So there.
Yeah, there you go.
Isn't this supposed to be a cast about, tyranny in the government? Why aren't we talking about that?
I don't know. We talked about that a lot last cast. We barely had any redemption. In like the last 10 minutes, we scrambled together to try to find something that wasn't awful to talk about.
I don't know. I'd be willing to have another hour of reading autocorrect mishaps on YouTube closed captioning. That was awesome.
It is pretty great, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is it about that makes those kinds of things so hilarious? Like that and those Buffalax movies of the Bollywood, you know, the English interpretation of how the sounds. It's just really funny. I don't know why.
Well, one thing is computers can't yet do language. They're getting closer, but I kind of like that they can't, because it'll make it easier for the central scrutinizer to just drone us based on what we say, whereas now they have to have a person listen. You know, I'm sure the machine looks for keywords, probably on the website in the show notes more than in the actual audio, and then assigns a person to spy on us and listen to us. But we could convert him. We can't convert the machines, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess what makes it funny to me is humor a lot is about the unexpected. And we're so used to language, especially our native languages and how we speak them, that changing some of the words that autocorrect changes, or even little kids, because I used to find that really hilarious too. My mom was a grade school teacher, and I loved, one of my favorite things when I visited her classroom was reading the papers that the kids wrote. Because, you know, there'd just be hilarious misspellings and sentences that were just like mind-blowingly funny. And I think it's because we're so used to using the language the way we do, that when we see somebody else who can see, or some other bot that conceives of it in a completely different way, it's just side-splitting.
Yeah, I mean, it often kind of resembles poetry in a way.
Yeah.
You know, even the name of our cast, Freedom Fiends, I mean, fiend is a mispronunciation of fiend, and I think you would argue, no, that's how you say it, but it's not. It's how people that don't know, that just hear it and never saw it written, say it.
No, I'd say it's a dialectical version of fiends, because it's widely used and accepted in hip hop and even pop songs, man. I mean, nobody who sings a song ever pronounces it fiends.
I'm not saying it's not correct, and I do understand that language evolves, but the first time someone said fiend instead of fiend, they were probably thinking they were saying it right. You know, they heard someone else say fiend, and they went, yeah, he's a fiend, yeah. And it caught on, because it's cooler. But
That's how language always works, though. I mean, especially loan words from other languages, people hear them and they just make something else new. Like even in other languages, like if you go to a Thai restaurant, there's a thing called musaman curry. And that was how Thai people pronounced Muslim, because it was a Muslim type version of the curry. Like the immigrants from the Muslim lands, they brought over their own kind of curry, and Thai people couldn't pronounce Muslim, so they called it musaman.
didn't the autocorrect on YouTube actually correct fiend to fiend?
I thought it did. It did. Yeah, it totally did. Yeah. Fiend. See. So I knew what I meant.
I knew what you meant. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the extra D on the end there just gets in the way. I feel like with music too, a lot of times you get rid of extra sounds, because in English, syllables can be long or short, you know, because nd is longer than n. And in music, you need syllables to be a certain length so they can fit into the music. You don't need to emphasize the extra nd, because then you'll miss a beat or something. So I can definitely see how music affects language and shapes language with things like that.
Yeah. There's some music that there's some songs that were written phonetically. A really good example is Yesterday by the Beatles. You know, yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away.
The story, it started as scrambled eggs.
Yeah, or scrambled eggs. Yeah. Ooh, baby, I love your legs. That's what Paul McCartney sat down and sang at the piano. there's a song by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds called Zoo Music Girls. And it's a really assaultive, repetitive rhythm. You know, it's almost like drum machines, but played with, you know, guitar, bass, and drums and piano. And it's like, zoo music girls, zoo music girls, zoo music girls. And I'm convinced that that was phonetically. And some of the Brian Eno stuff too, like baby's on fire, better drop them in. Some of the words in that song just seem like he was just making words that fit and they didn't have to make sense.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, what music is about is, obviously it's how it sounds. I mean, lyrics can be an extra meaningful thing sometimes, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, it's just like anything else in the mix when it comes to songwriting or song production. You can emphasize one aspect or not.
Yeah. I've always said that there's a difference between poetry and lyrics. Lyrics are poetry. And some poetry can be lyrics, but not all. A really good example. I mean, some of the greatest rock songs of all time, like Whole Lotta Love by Led Zeppelin. If you recite the lyrics of that just as lyrics, they're boneheaded. Ooh, baby, you need coolin'. I'm going to send you back to schoolin'. Way down inside, woman, you need love. Going to give you my love, every inch of my love. That's ridiculous. But if when you hear it and you hear the band play it, it's like a bulldozer knocking you down. It's amazing.
Yeah. 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 Totally.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the lyrics Beavis and Butthead would write if they wrote poetry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a completely different thing because it is used a different way. I mean, poetry you read and, lyrics you sing or rap, and there's music underneath you, and the rhythm is so important, and the melody too, because a melody and where you're at, what note you sing the song or the lyric at, can change the feeling of it completely.
Yep. And you always do hard G's at the end of words like sing and song.
Yeah.
And I don't. Yeah. And I used to think of that as a mistake, but DJ hipped me to, no, that's a regionalism of the South, which I like and means that I'm going to have you call all the radio stations in the South. Because they'll be like, oh, he's one of us, instead of having like someone from Connecticut call and say, hello, I would like to book our show, The Freedom Fiends, on your rock musical talk radio show station.
Yes. Texans don't like people from Connecticut unless their last name is Bush.
Oh, that's pretty funny, man. Isn't that one of the like 9 states he claimed residency in for various purposes?
I don't know. I just know. I thought that that's where the original family. Well, I guess there's no original family, but I thought that that's where Senior was from or grew up in. I don't know, man.
They called Bush a hat, which I've heard is a Texan term for someone who pretends to be a cowboy but isn't. You know, they're just an empty hat.
An empty hat. Yeah.
Actually, Doonesbury portrayed Bush as a hat, as a talking cowboy hat. Remember that?
Doonesbury's kind of really liberal, isn't it?
It's really liberal, man. Really, really, really liberal. But it's, you know, it's funny once in a while. When it's right, it's right.
Yeah, I suppose so. Doonesbury. So, yeah, man. Any tyranny you've noticed today? Or
I don't know, man. I just got an email that I don't really understand. David wrote, it doesn't really bother me. I think more than anything, people complain because it sounds different. I can imagine thinking, that's not MWD. Oh, I think he's talking about our bad audio cast. Take it with a grain of salt because I'm a content guy and audio isn't really my passion. On the same token, I understand obsessive need to be as good as possible in your art. Any flaw in my woodworking drives me crazy, and my wife frequently reminds me that I'm the only one who sees it. And he says, be careful with the negative thoughts. Fiends have always brought me great pleasure. What did we do?
We're pleasure bringers.
He says, I'd rather hear the Freedom Fiends in choppy, bad quality than Mitt Romney and Barack Obama in crystal clear sound. It's a good point.
It's a really good point. Really good point.
Yeah, but, you know, I would say, too, I guess part of the thing is that we are literally open and transparent, almost to the point of annoyance with our process. I would say like a lot of people want to drive a Porsche, But if they had to sit there and watch the engineers talk about poring over the blueprints, it would probably drive them crazy. They'd be like, no one notices that, but people do notice that. They notice that a Porsche is better than a Ford, but they can't tell you why. But we're trying to tell people why so they can build the Porsche audio too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, different strokes for different folks and different toys for different boys. Some people like hearing the engineers talk about stuff. I mean,
yeah.
I might like to watch it once on YouTube and just see what goes into a Porsche. I mean, I'm no expert, and a lot of things would probably fly over my head. But, you know, sitting down, falling down wormholes, that might be a fun 15 minutes, 20 minutes to spend, you know?
I live for the wormholes, man. I mean, that's basically... I'm going to grad school on the internet, and it's not through, you know, I wouldn't do well in something as codified as Khan Academy, although I'm glad it exists. And I was thinking your mother should pull your little brother Knight out of school and pay me in Bitcoin to homeschool him over the internet if she's busy working or something.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, what you're going through now is grad unschooling, apparently.
Ah, yes.
You just find something that you love and you learn as much as you can about it.
Yeah. You know, I'm clicking on a link about, you know, Whisker radio, foxhole radios from World War I. And then four clicks later, I'm learning about the renal system for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
So we're going to talk about language more. We have some
good subjects.
Yeah, we have some notes about wrong language or mispronunciations. And I sent you some emails the other night. You know, I'm obsessed with the Fiends. I mean, I work on it every night, every day, every night, every day. And I sent you some emails of some words you'd mispronounced, and you were a little butthurt. You hadn't visited your bidet yet, and that day. And I guess it was partly how inflection doesn't work in email. You know, I could have called you at 4 a.m. about it, but you probably were asleep or busy, and I just wanted to send it to you. So I explained to you that I wasn't, you know, I don't sit up at night going, how can I harm Nima Vidati? You know, it's all about making the Fiends better. And I do some of the same things I was talking to you about, and I said that. And one of the real issues is we're going to get on radio soon, and our audience is going to vastly increase, not just in number, but in broadness. Right now, we are pretty much preaching to the choir. Pretty much everyone that listens to us is either, you know, a zero gov ANCAP, or at best, you know, at like the most statist any of our listeners are is usually Ron Paul supporter. We are going to have a general cross section of society that's going to be, you know, truck drivers, teachers, leftists, all kinds of people just turn on the radio. So I really want to nail this kind of stuff because it's really easy for someone to dismiss everything you do if you say something wrong. And there's actually, yeah. You know, especially yeah. if we're like talking about, yes, people don't need schools. Schools are dumb. And then we mispronounce something in saying why people don't need schools. It destroys the whole argument. There's actually another one of those eponymous laws is Murphy's Law, but it's not the Murphy's Law of anything that can go wrong will. It's Murphy's spelled wrong. And it's that anytime you write anything criticizing someone's grammar, you will invariably make a mistake of grammar or spelling in it. And I found that to be true.
Yeah, it is. It is. But yeah, you're right that we need to make sure we pay attention to this. Now, some stuff is going to happen. You know, it's impossible, I think, to be perfect. Even the president will stutter occasionally.
Bush. We did a whole episode on Bushisms.
Right, right. Well, he was known for it. But even Obama, you know, who's supposed to be this grand public speaker, he'll have long pauses and occasional mispronunciations. I think it's
One of the worst was calling Marine Corpsman corpsman, which is how it's spelled. You didn't know about that? That really bothered
a
lot of people.
I talked about that.
He was addressing a room of corpsmen, and he was like, it's really great to be here with you corpsmen. You corpsmen are wonderful. I love how you corpsmen are protecting America. He said it three times.
Well, it's because that's how he thinks of them, right?
Yes.
They're just men that will be corpses for his own benefit.
After they produce some corpses. Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. Which actually, when you mispronounce a word, like if you say, are you incinerating? I can't speak English. That's called a malapropism, which is named after a character, Mrs. Malaprop. Let me see what that's from. Mrs. Malaprop was, let's see, Officer Dogberry was in it, was a Shakespeare character who did it. It was kind of the first literary use of it in the 1600s. And then Mrs. Malaprop was later in 1775 from Richard Brinsley Sheridan's play, The Rivals. I was forced to learn that in high school to know what a malapropism is. Then there's something called a spoonerism, which is kind of when it's named not Lysander Spooner. It's named after a different Spooner, but it's kind of when you like, are you incinerating? I can't speak English is a malapropism, but it's kind of also a spoonerism. Let's study.
So what's the difference between a spoonerism and a malapropism? Then?
Why don't you read the article, a little of the article on spoonerism? It's basically a malapropism that makes sense. Like Archie Bunker in All in the Family was famous for them, and he would often say the women's lubrication movement instead of the women's liberation movement, which could have an alternate meaning. A spoonerism is basically, my understanding of it is, it's a malapropism that has a meaning related to the original thing, like calling Alzheimer's disease old-timer's disease, something like that.
Ah, okay, okay. So spoonerisms can be used to be clever. You can use the spoonerism for humorous effect.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess you can with the malapropism too, but I guess spoonerism has a higher level of cleverness. A spoonerism is an error in speech or deliberate play on words in which corresponding consonants, vowels, or morphemes are switched.
Okay. That's different. It's funny, but it's where you switch two things. Like instead of the Lord is a loving shepherd, the Lord is a shoving leopard.
Right. Or is it kistamary to cuss the bride?
Yeah.
A blushing crow instead of a crushing blow. Okay, yeah, I remember this. It's switch stuff. A well-boiled icicle instead of a well-oiled bicycle. Okay. Is the bean dizzy instead of is the dean busy?
The dean is busy podcatting.
Yeah, he is.
The dean of the distance learning anarchy school. It was interesting, though, because you were defending what you did in the email back to me, and you said, you know, I'd quoted Archie Bunker, and you're like, I wouldn't even go to quote Archie Bunker. You know, I know it more from Shakespeare's Mrs. Malaprop.
But
you know,
I was wrong.
But you were wrong. You were kind of doing a historical malapropism because it wasn't Shakespeare. Yeah.
I was acting like I was well-read.
You're well-read. I want to know who Officer Dogberry was. I want to look him up.
Sounds kind of gross.
Sounds like a cop. Sounds like a stupid cop.
Yeah.
Dogberry. Yeah, it's from the play Much Ado About Nothing. Much Ado About Nothing. He's the chief of the citizen police in Messina. He's a figure of comic incompetence. Awesome. So basically Shakespeare in 1600 had a bumbling idiot cop.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
The Keystone Cop was the Shakespeare original.
Probably because Shakespeare influenced a lot of modern drama and TV. I wouldn't be surprised if the idea of the bumbling cop not only comes from bumbling cops, but from Officer Dogberry.
Well, I can see how to the general people that would be a very nice thing, an entertaining thing to see, is this person who has this authority completely made fun of and shown to be the idiot that he is. Because in your daily interactions, that's what people think. They think, oh my God, this is freaking ridiculous. I can't believe I'm getting pulled over again. I mean, I don't what did cops do back then? I mean, did they give you walking tickets or running tickets?
I mean, they arrested you for being poor and threw you in the British Navy.
Ah, debtor's prison. Yeah, and pressed you into service. You into service. See, there was a malapropism.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you say, pressed?
I said impressed you into service. It should have been pressed you into service. See, there you go. Happens all the time. More than it should.
So do we want to talk about the specific words that you malapropped?
Ah, sure.
It is a teaching hospital, and I have malapropped at least one of these before.
Some were mispronunciations, which I think there's a distinction there. Like recognizance, I sometimes call it reconnaissance because it's hard for me to pronounce that hard G. But actually, the root word or part of the etymology of recognizance is from the old French word for reconnaissance.
And you actually postulated that the government mispronounces that to make people who are in court sound stupid.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's true. I think there's other.
It could be true.
Maybe. I think there's some other influence there from another language.
I kind of
recognize is obviously another.
I kind of feel like the language of law is intentionally difficult for the non-lawyer or the non-member of the law to stack it in their favor.
Oh, yeah. Well, I completely think there's an incentive there to make law not spoken in the vernacular, but spoken in some kind of anointed language that you have to spend years getting educated to really have a mastery of.
I mean, who the hell uses Latin anymore? Lawyers. You know, pharmacists and doctors used to use it. They don't so much anymore. Basically, the way that the encryption used for prescriptions to prevent common people from writing their own prescriptions back in the day, even when I was a kid, was the doctors wrote the prescriptions in Latin and they had really bad handwriting and only the pharmacist could read it and nobody could write it. They stopped doing that because so many people died because of wrong prescriptions. But
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yep.
All right. Well, so many people die because of the state and its legal system.
Because of what doctors do. Yeah. Because the government.
Because of what lawyers do. Because lawyers use this arcane language so people don't know what they're supposed to do or not supposed to do. And it's harder for them to defend themselves. And I don't know. I feel like the spirit of justice, you should be able to defend yourself. I mean, doesn't that just seem like it's natural? And in your heart, don't you think you should be able to face your accusers? And but no, you need to have a third party. You have to have somebody who knows the language of the law. And, you know, obviously there's some removal there from how you feel about the situation and what you did and your own motivations. That's all having to be spoken through a lawyer, right?
Well, first of all, in New Hampshire, you can defend yourself now. Secondly, I don't want to bash lawyers outright personally, because sometimes I think lawyers are the only thing between you and a cage, not just when you're arrested, but lawyers are sometimes the only people chipping away at the government, chipping away at the government's protections of the people from the government.
I get that. I wasn't trying to make a point
I just want to make it clear, but...
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm not hating the players here. I'm hating the game, you know, because the way the game is set up, you really do. I'm not saying you should go defend yourself all the time and that you'll get away with it. No, you can't, because the system's not set up that way.
Well, I just watched that movie, David Mamet movie about Phil Spector last night. And he insisted on taking the stand and they just wouldn't let him because he was so bizarre and weird and wearing a giant Jimi Hendrix wig in homage to Jimi Hendrix. And there's a couple funny things in that movie. One is he had this box set called Back to Mono, which actually it came out in 91. It was all his old mono recordings. Like, he didn't like stereo. He liked mono.
What?
Oh, yeah. It was all mono, man. There wasn't stereo back then.
I know that, but why would you not like stereo once it came out?
Because he did amazing stuff with mono, and it's what he knew how to do, and he didn't see the need for stereo. Also, I think part of it is his record labels reissued a lot of his mono stuff as what was called duophonic, which was a horrible failure. It was basically synthesized stereo from mono masters, where they put, like, separated it into two tracks, made one more bassy and one more trebly, and then put a 5-microsecond delay between them, and it sounded horrible. But there's a scene in there. Okay, a couple of spoilers. There's a scene in there where he's going into court and everybody's screaming at him, which actually happened, and calling him a murderer and yelling for gun control and all these things. And there's this young girl wearing a young hipster chick wearing a t-shirt that says Back to Mono. And she's like, "Phil, Back to Mono," and gives him the thumbs up. And he's like, "Oh, someone who actually gets me here and supports me." And he walks over to her and she throws a cup of red paint on his white suit. Like, murderer.
What?
But I think when we go to when we start doing talk radio, when we get on radio, I think we should call the first episode of it, when we put it on the podcast, The Fiends, Back to Mono.
I like that. Yeah, I thought you'd come up with that because we're going to be broadcasting in mono.
No. Right. But let's see. I didn't like that film just kind of ended like abruptly before the sentencing in the first trial. He had two trials. It's like you don't end a taut courtroom drama right before the courtroom drama scene and then just go to text on screen and say what happened. It's a ripoff, man. It's horrible. There's no payoff. Yeah. But he was bizarre. He was very, very bizarre in this movie and in life. And we have some insider information.
Well, you do. You haven't told me.
I have told you. Al Pacino plays Phil Spector in this movie.
That's the inside information? Yeah. Seems like everybody would know that.
No, my inside information is there. I knew a girl who knew Phil Spector and sent me pictures of her hanging out with him in his apartment, in his mansion, right before this trial. And she said, you know, I want to confide in you. What? And I was like, I didn't say I won't tell anybody. She just dumped all this on me by email. she said, you know, he shot the woman. They were doing some kind of kink gun play, like power play with a gun. And mm-hmm. he put the gun in her mouth and it went off. You know, he accidentally pulled the trigger or whatever. You know, and he denied, Phil Spector denies it. He says the girl killed herself. He said he was 10 feet away. She grabbed one of his guns and stuck it in her mouth and pulled the trigger. But, yeah. Yeah. So what else in that movie?
But did you have, inside information as to what, you know, I guess. Okay.
I have hearsay. We'll just drop it there. It's not legally. Well, at this point, there's no like legal problem with me saying that. I mean, he's been sentenced, you know, nothing could change that now. And this is hearsay, you know, I mean, if that girl came forth and she was in the room and had videotape of Phil Spector not killing the woman, that could maybe get him a retrial. But this is just hearsay and it confirms what the court decided. So it's just me babbling, but it's true. It's true that I was told this by somebody, and she sent me pictures of herself in Phil Spector's house with him, and they did not look faked.
Okay.
Yep. Which is why I don't like people telling me secrets, because that disturbed me. I was like, Phil Spector's going to have me killed. I need to get guns.
That's what led you to get the guns.
That was part of it. Yeah. So let's go take a break and sell some stuff, man.
All right.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
Nima, are you ready for further abuse?
Always.
I am too. We're going to talk for the last part of this episode, this short episode, about variations in sex, meaning not sex. The kind of sex you have, but in the sex you define yourself as, or you are physically, biologically defined as.
Variations in gender.
Gender's a sticky word. But I was looking for pictures of tranny hookers for a cast one day, and I fell down some wormholes.
Like I do always.
And I came across this term intersex. Why don't you read a little about intersex?
Yeah, intersex in humans, not to be confused with hermaphroditism, which since the 20th century has only referred to animals. Intersex is a variation in sex characteristics including chromosomes, gonads, and or genitals
that do not
allow an individual to be distinctly identified as male or female. So such a variation may involve genital ambiguity and combinations of chromosomal genotype and sexual phenotype other than XY male and XX female. As with all humans, gender identity for intersex individuals may often be complicated. There you go. That's the stickiness of it, as you referred to. Intersex infants with ambiguous outer genitalia may be surgically, quote, corrected to more easily fit into a socially accepted sex category. Others may opt in adulthood for surgical procedures in order to align their physical sex characteristics with their gender identity or the sex category to which they were assigned at birth. So intersex is not hermaphroditism because it's not I'm a little bit of both. It's just ambiguous. It's like, what is that?
Yeah. There's some pictures. Scroll down and react to some of these pictures on this page.
Reaction shots.
Yes.
Well, first, there's kind of some man-tit pictures. I guess I don't find that too upsetting. It looks like a guy that's just kind of overweight.
Did you ever hear the rumor? Yeah, but they're a little boobier than just being overweight. Did you ever hear the rumor? They used to tell kids something to scare them out of smoking pot, that pot smoking made men grow boobs. Did you ever hear that?
No, but kids wouldn't be like, totally, I could feel my own boobs.
I could just sit around
awesome.
And feel my boobs all day long. I'd never leave the house. Yeah. You never heard that?
No. I've heard people say it makes you gay, but never that it grow boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's a picture of a dude, I guess, with an ambiguous crotch area and also giant areolas. Mm. Man, this is some prurient interest right here.
No, it's biological, man. We're absolutely not prurient. Yeah. We are...
It's anatomical discussion. It is anatomy. All right. Ambiguous genitalia appear as a large clitoris or small penis, like China from her porno, because there is a variation in all of the processes of the developmental of the sex organs. A child can be born with a sexual anatomy that is typically female or feminine in appearance, with a larger than average clitoris, or typically male, masculine in appearance, with a smaller than average penis that is open along the underside.
Now, see, prurient would be something I wouldn't say on radio. Like, I'm kind of getting turned on, but I'm confused.
Like in the episode of South Park, yeah, I'm real confused because he doesn't know what's going on.
Go to the third gender page. That's even more interesting. There are species that don't just have two sexes. And they have a picture. The pictures are better on this page. They're not things that look like freakish humans. There's a bird. There's a picture of a bird.
Put a bird on it.
Put a bird on it. Two girls, two shirts, one cup.
Three genders. The terms third gender and third sex describe individuals who are categorized by their will or by social consensus as neither man nor woman, as well as the social category present in those societies who recognize three or more genders. The term third is usually understood to mean other. Some anthropologists and sociologists have described fourth, fifth, and even some genders. The concept of third, fourth, and some genders can be somewhat difficult to understand within Western conceptual categories. So, yeah, man, I've kind of not grappled with, but heard things like this, and sometimes there's you know, TV movies and documentaries about cultures where there is an accepted, you know, men who act as women kind of.
Well,
a category,
India actually has a space for it on their passports.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they call them the Hijra, Hijra of India, are probably the most well known and populous third sex in the modern world. There are between 5 and 6 million in India. And they are somewhere between women living as men and men living as women. They're usually men, born men. But one said, when asked if she was going to get a sex change operation, she said, "You do not understand. I am the third sex, not a man trying to be a woman. It is your society's problem that you only recognize two sexes." But yeah, on their passports there, they have a space for male, female, and this other thing.
Right. And you know, maybe there's something to it. I remember reading anthropological things about how some cultures only have words for certain colors. Like they only have three color words, and I guess those would be the primary colors. So everything that's that's, you know, purple wouldn't be called purple. They'd call it the same word for blue or red or whatever the case is.
And the really famous one is that Eskimos have like 70 words for snow or something like that.
But of course, they make distinctions for the different types of snow, right? That's it. It's like wet snow, hard snow, dry snow, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, maybe there's something to be said for the fact that in our language, or at least in our culture, you don't have as many ways of describing variations in human sexuality and gender. Whereas in other cultures, maybe that's not the case, or apparently it's not the case.
And then there's the sworn virgins of Albania.
Ah, huh. Yeah, and this seems kind of interesting, I hadn't looked at this yet.
Well, it goes back to when Albania had a really patriarchal society, and women were not allowed to, you know, own property, carry a gun, smoke cigarettes, and there were women who swore to celibacy and then dressed and had their hair as men and lived as men their whole life to be able to do those things, to be able to carry a gun, smoke cigarettes, own property. And they pretty much look like, you know, American lesbians, I guess, lesbians that dress male, but more male. They look really, really male. And society has changed in Albania to where women, I think nobody can own a gun there now, and everybody can smoke and own property. So they don't really have a, like, getting extra legal rights reason to do it, but there's some that are still living like this. They're very old.
Well, grasp that for a minute. Let it marinate, as I like to say. But how important and natural to humanity is the need to have property rights and to own property that some people would even forego sex, which we all think of as the most important biological drive in us, you know, the thing that motivates us so much. But property would supersede that in these Albanian sworn virgins. And I'll read a little bit about from the wiki page here. Albanian sworn virgins are women who take a vow of chastity and wear male clothing in order to live as men in the patriarchal northern Albanian society. To a lesser extent, the practice exists or has existed in other parts of the Western Balkans. The other term for sworn virgins include... Oh, I don't know how to pronounce that. I can't speak Albanian. And that's just a bunch of pronunciations. So... Huh. Are there any pictures we have here? Should we use this?
There are some pictures. It's that other link on the New York Times. There's 7 pictures of the sworn virgins of Albania. How insulting would it be to their culture if I took a picture of one of these and put, like, "Freedom Fiends, yo," next to it?
I don't think it'd be insulting at all.
Number 6 looks like she should be listening to Freedom Fiends. He should be listening to Freedom Fiends. Do you see him?
No, I'm still on third gender.
All right. If you want to, since people can't see the video feed, if you want to go back to the third gender biology link I just sent you, that's kind of interesting about the difference between gender and sex and how some species of birds and other animals have more than two genders. And it's called intersexuality.
Ah, yeah, yeah, of course.
Read the second paragraph of that, starting with evolutionary biologist.
All right, so evolutionary biologist Joan Roughgarden argues that in addition to male and female sexes, as defined by the production of small or large gametes, more than two genders exist in hundreds of animal species. Species with one female and two male genders include red deer, who have two male morphs, one with antlers and one without, known as hummels or knots, as well as several species of fish such as plainfin midshipman fish and coho salmon. Species with one female and three male genders include bluegills, where four distinct size and color classes exhibit different social and reproductive behaviors, as well as the spotted European rosae, cichlid, and a kind of tree lizard.
Nemo.
Species with, yeah.
Interesting world you've got here.
It really is.
I kind of feel like I'm from another planet reading this. I really do.
Why is that? Because this stuff just, people never talk about it or even know about it.
Yeah, and it's probably happening in my yard. You know, this isn't like something Bush Africa or something. This is, I'm sure there are things in Wyoming that fit the red. I think we have red deer here.
Yeah. Well, although that could just be the species of deer and not referring to. Oh, well, is that the same thing that we were talking about? I don't know. But I guess the point I keep thinking back to, though, is that
red deer from Africa. Sorry.
it's not like this stuff doesn't exist. It's not like something doesn't exist just because you don't conceptualize
right,
it.
Right.
Stuff is happening all the time that we don't conceptualize because we've never thought of it or never read it, or there's not even words in our language to accurately describe it. The world is so much more bigger and diverse than we ever think of. And what the state does, and I guess this is the tie back, is try to limit things to just what's written in the law and just what's written in law books and just what's spoken about by legislators and their captive media. And, you know, I guess some of the devil's advocate arguments, you know, because some people will say, well, you know, giraffes have gay butt sex all the time, so having gay butt sex is fine. Well, I guess the devil's advocate thing is, well, the nature of other animals isn't necessarily the nature of human beings. But in human beings, we see the nature of homosexuality and gender differences and third genders all the time. And different classes of males. I mean, that was kind of the thing on this this animal thing is, you know, there's different classes of males, different genders of males. You know, in human society, we have emo kids and jocks, and we have different classes of males,
like,
too.
I feel like I'm a different species from skinny, melpy males who think no one should have guns.
Yeah.
I really
different
do.
Gender, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Different, yes. different types of male, different gender, enough to be a different gender. I just sent you the link on homosexual behavior in animals. You were talking about that. There's a picture of two male dogs humping here.
Actually, it's two female dogs.
Okay. Do you think that should be the image for the podcast?
It's two sworn bitches.
And you can say that on radio because we're talking about female dogs.
Referring to female dogs, of course.
Boy, there's a lot of animals. Pigeons. Both male and female pigeons sometimes exhibit homosexual behavior. As well as sexual behavior, same-sex pigeon pairs will build nests and hens will lay infertile eggs and attempt to incubate them. That just sounds confused.
Right.
Squirrels. Okay. Squirrels do not do it, though. And then there's bonobos, which are the most intelligent chimpanzee of the apes, and they are a fully bisexual species. And when they're they solve fights by having sex. When they're going to fight and they're angry, they just skip the fight and have the sex.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
Well, good for them. We should maybe incorporate some of that. No, I couldn't see me and Dianne Feinstein ever getting it on. But
anything that arouses the interest of more than one bonobo at a time, not just food, tends to result in sexual contact. So they're highly sexual as well as all bisexual. If two bonobos approach a cardboard box thrown into their enclosure, they will briefly mount each other before playing with the box.
Nice. So the answer to every question in a bonobo's mind is, let's have sex.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying, you know, it's a word that would be like aloha, that would mean yo, or what's that, or is that dangerous, or that's cool, or I'm hungry, or there's food. It all just results in sex. With whatever's around. Anything that moves. American nice. Bison, which is on the flag of my homophobic state. Courtship, mounting, and full anal penetration between bulls has been noted to occur among American bison.
There you go. There you go. So you guys have big, gay, fuzzy animals on your Wyoming flag.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. You should bring that up to your representative and see how he reacts. I bet there'll be a bill in the House within the next few weeks to remove the gay bison from the front of the flag.
To put squirrels on because they're not on the list of homosexual animals.
There you go.
And,
there
you know, there's a lot more squirrels in Wyoming than there are bison. We're known for our bison, but they were wiped out by people shooting them out of trains, actually. Do you know that? They used to hand people rifles on the trains and just let them shoot bison to rot when they were driving through bison land.
Was that part of the genocide of the American Indian as far as killing their food source?
That was. I don't know if it was that centrally planned. I think it was just like, hey, this is a long train trip. Rifles exist. People are bored. There's stuff to shoot.
There you go. Well, I guess the natural gun control for that is Nintendo Game Boys.
Yep. So I don't know if there's really a freedom fix or... there is a freedom fix because we didn't talk about the government one bit and we talked for like an hour, man. That's cool.
Yeah, that's real cool.
What if this becomes our most popular episode ever? It'd be kind of funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my reaction to that is putting my dick on the keyboard.
You can't say that. Say it in biological terms.
My reaction to that is putting my penis on the keyboard.
Which I think is still kind of prurient. But, you know, we're getting it all out of our system before radio.
I'm just making like a bonobo.
Podcasting makes me want to, yes, fill in the blank with bisons.
Fill in the blank. That's what it all comes down to.
Makes me
want to
fill in the blank. That's all we're doing. Yeah. Yep.
All right.
All right.
Good times.
Good times. Worms.
Peace.
Peace.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy, Dean, from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me, and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission, and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.